I'm going to pull a Jurgens. See you.
You're leaving?
I'm leaving.
How are you doing?
That wasn't the answer.
What is this? What do you mean you're leaving, Hill?
You notice John is, I mean, I was going to make a comment earlier. He is dressed as good as he can. I call that for me, that's dressed out.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but
mm-hmm.
I think hopefully I'll be here all the way.
I'll get
you in
3 minutes.
Right.
I
understand.
I don't have anything in this folder.
A4. What's that supposed to mean? Or do you...
No.
What they're filing and asking for, I think, is counterproductive to what they're wanting is that them people that filed for that A4.
Just read.
Jurgen's going to help us.
What it says in our zoning.
You better sign. I'm going to be John. Okay.
Hold it. Jurgen's got your work.
I'm right. Yeah, let's go.
Come on.
What those people are filing for, I don't think they realize what they're doing themselves.
You got the baseball. Be on your P's and Q's, liars.
Oh,
you guys don't tell me what's going on. I won't know. I will not know.
Hey, Don. Is this Top Coat and Cypress Benefit? Does that go in the other folder?
That should be the way at the end.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't.
Yeah, I don't know why they have that on there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just grab the.
Looking at that, we picked up those farmer coatings.
I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want you to chew me out.
Put those in at the last minute, or change.
Well, one of Top Coat's coming out of the highway department and the inheritance. Top Coat came out of two different things.
Is it? I think. Is it both?
No, we pulled 200 and some out of each.
Oh, okay, yeah, because it was 206, I think, or whatever that we took out of inheritance.
Yeah, Top Coat was right down here.
Yeah.
I don't want to get it wrong. I might have to work some more.
This is out of inheritance from the 206,000, yeah.
So I've got to go up and do a Region 5 thing this afternoon. I've got a meeting.
Change
so.
One day four.
Good thing you got meetings. That way your wife can rest. Mm-hmm.
Yes. She's been, you're exactly right.
He's working on it too hard.
Yeah.
He's retired, and now he's working.
Doggone it, I got to straighten out. Okay, Advanced Auto Dealers, tariff, $29. Associated Computer Systems, Miscellaneous General, $3,499.39. Gadsden Community Hospital, Sheriff, Drug and Alcohol, $81.35. Gadsden Daily Sun, Veterans Service, Miscellaneous General, $439.78. Bench and Garrison Law, District Judge Attorney's Fees, $1,031. And I did have somebody, I can't remember who it was up there, that wasn't getting paid because the District Judge didn't have any money.
We've got a resolution again to pay transfers more money for the District Judge.
Well, I see that, and that's going to take care of employees as well as, okay. Black Hills Energy.
New District Judge, and he blows the budget all to hell.
Yeah. Black Hills Energy, $316.37. Blue Valley Door Extension Office, $26.25.
It shouldn't affect anybody's wages.
Where the $26.25? Okay, got it.
Got it?
Yep.
CBM Managed Services County Jail, $1,540.30. Charter Communications Emergency Management, $7.40. DASST Accounting, Miscellaneous General Data Processing, $478.44. Diode Communications Technologies, $80. East Office Solutions, County Clerk, $405.95. Sandra L. Tisti Retirement, $12. First Wireless Sheriff Radio Equipment, $133.50. An account with Gage County District Probation Telephone Service, $405. Gage County Court, County Attorney Court related costs, $1.75. I don't know. Do you think we ought to have them come in and explain that one? Infinisource Inc., Miscellaneous General, $99.75. Jerry Shelton Attorney, Juvenile Court, $1,907.50. Joyce Cassing Retirement, $20. Koenig Law Firm, District Judge, 520. Land Survey Tech County Surveyor, $3,786.40. Latimer Reporting, County Attorney, court-related costs, $111. Lynn Peavy, Sheriff, investigative expense, $682. Moloch Law Office, District Judge, Miscellaneous General Juvenile Court, $2,076. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Senator.
Mail Finance, Miscellaneous General, $1,609.80.
I don't know what you were doing when you hurt your back, man. That's been
getting a donut.
NACO, yeah, Miscellaneous General.
What you did ahead of time. That's how that works with me.
I
all of a sudden, you know, take 10 hours. You can walk along, dropping it to your knees. What the hell did I do? I didn't do nothing.
I'm pretty sure I know what it was, but pretending I wasn't as old as I am.
I know we did that for
NACO, 2005-3805. When you guys get old enough, and hopefully you won't get the same experience I've had, but if you've been cut on every part of your body from top to bottom, it hurts when you get older. It does.
I'm not
you just
doing
start
that.
Trying to walk, and you can't get the speed and all that crap. I'll tell you. So anyway, I'm upright. That's all that counts.
Golden years. I don't know what's the deal about that.
Yeah, right. Those golden all years.
All your parts have been fixed. They're worth as much as gold.
That's right. Yeah, that's for darn sure. And I'll go back and tell my story in 1985 when I was diagnosed with esophageal cancer. And because I'd had a test a couple years ahead of that, just Blue Cross Blue Shield said I had pre-existing conditions so they wouldn't pay the $150,000, and I got stuck and went broke. So talk about pre-existing conditions. You see all those on TV. You have a friend who has been subjected to that. 1985, $150,000. Yes, and they told me I might live a year to a year and a half, but pay your damn bill. Anyway, Sheriff, the subscription's $39. Nurse Public Power, $165.11. O'Keefe Elevator, $214.02. Pam's Cleaning and Shampooing Extension Office, $200. Philippi Electric, $1,098.39. Pricker Rural Fire District, ambulance cost $1,500. Quill Extension Office supplies $212.95. Quill District Probation $1,558.07. Don?
Yes.
Probation Office, there's a question here on Jolly Rancher.
What?
A whole bag of them.
The item above will be shipped and billed separately. It's zero here, but
yeah, that must be backward. I don't know if that's a freebie or if they bought them. I don't know. Yeah, if she sees something kind of strange, she'll
okay, well, at least we don't have a bill for it at this point. $1,558.07. Thank you. Quill.com, County Treasurer, $77.10. Region 5 Systems, Institution Cost, $955. Alice Rigger, Retirement, $25. Centrix, Building Grounds, $180. Deb Silverman, District Judge, District Court Cost, $152.75. Smith, Shaver, Davis, Gertig, District Judge, Miscellaneous General, County and Juvenile Courts, $2,843. Eugene Stanbro, Sheriff Emergency Supplies, $565. Ammunition. Staples Business Advantage Sheriff Office Supplies, 158.71. Thompson Reuters Lost Payment Judge County Court 121.74. U.S. Bank County Clerk Billing Grounds 148.22. U.S. Postal Service County Treasurer and Election 548. Bryson Wireless Probation Emergency Management 1,377.30. Vivial Miscellaneous General Telephone 2325. Walmart District Probation Office Supplies $90.21. Washington County Sheriff's Office 364.85. Westlake Hardware Billing Grounds 452.73. Windstream 4,080.04.
I knew I should have asked earlier. There's two. They did the extension ones. I'm missing two from extension here, Black Hills Energy and a Conoco Minolta earlier.
Black Hills Energy?
No.
$58. And the other one, $1,781. Conoco Minolta. They got one more group down here, and I didn't catch it until I was too far into it. That
I don't know.
Right.
I jumped right over it if I did.
Me too.
And that'd be the first thing.
Black Hills Energy was early on, but it, since it's the third one, they go back and forth. They're working. We can look after a bit here, too, through them or whatever. Because they weren't in that other pile you had then at all, were they?
No. Mm-hmm.
I didn't think so.
No.
The other one, Black Hills.
And Conoco Minolta, quarterly copy fees for... These are both extension office ones, so that might be why. See if you find an extension one, they might be double stamped together or something.
Yeah, it's.
I mean,
don't have anything here in our extras.
Problem is, Charlotte's gonna have a baby here.
Unless it's somehow put in with. I just saw Black Hills Energy Road 771.
You know.
Yeah. Well, that's road. No, that's different. This is. They're doing the extension office in their own thing here now.
Okay.
What was the extension office under? E?
Extension office or Black Hills Energy. Just hold on. We'll look at it after that. Those two yet I need.
It'd be B.
It would have been Black Hills Energy as far as who the pay is to, and then it would list detail-wise that it was extension office.
But I don't know how early they were in this whole thing or not.
The next third pay period.
Where's the Black Hills Energy? Is that hit right there, that 58.64?
Yep, 58.64.
Oh, three pay periods.
Okay, but then you had, what was the other? Okay.
When we backed it up 1 week, it was when we had three pay periods.
Sheriff was 74 something.
The total was three.
September.
Now there's three different bills.
What did you get? 183.29. No, what was the total then? 316.37.
Want that third one, or you'll only get a week on that?
I don't have that either. Black Hills Energy. Yeah, that was. See, and it didn't.
They weren't pay period.
They don't have their. Here's Meyer, Black Hills Energy, 316.37. But, okay, let's pull that one out. Because down here they have 58.64, so they have that double. That's what I mean. Okay? That's double. Then the other one was Conoco Minolta. Did we have that up here somewhere? No.
I don't mean to complain, but we don't have these problems when John goes over that.
I know it. John was here and he laughed already.
I saw that. I caught
it. Doggone
it. See it, Myra.
Okay.
Which one are you looking for?
Conoco Minolta, Extension Office, $1,781. And then there's one other one here she put down here, extension, and she included it up higher.
$1,780?
$1,781.99, Conoco Minolta.
Okay.
Extension office, quarterly copy fees. And then there's another one here that she...
Darn!
Here, I'll show you this one. Here was Black Hills Energy, the 316. Where is that at here now? 316. Black Hills Energy. 316.37.
It's up on top somewhere.
316.37. Okay, Black Hills Energy. 316.37. Okay? Mm-hmm. Well, then she went and put down here Black Hills Energy 5864.
See, that,
well, that's included in there.
I think, I wonder if some of them got added in. Okay, I'll have to talk to them about
that.
That
one did.
Yeah.
But the other one's is Konica Minolta. We couldn't find it.
Okay. And Konica Minolta, that is a janitorial. Oh, no. Oh, wait a minute. Here's
Konica Minolta
three.
Quarterly copy fees.
What in the heck? You can't have that much for quarterly copy fees.
That seems like a lot. It's like copy payment, a copier payment.
It's copier rent stuff. I don't know.
All right.
But those are the two.
Okay.
Keep that one separate.
Yeah.
What did you guys go over in one?
You have the general.
You need that. I got the other. I got one here. Yeah.
I'll look and make sure it's
okay.
Stapled with it.
I didn't see it.
Okay.
Okay. We're ready for road.
Are you ready for road?
I'm here just in time.
You ready for road?
If this don't go any better, I'll have Teeman do it next time.
All right.
I can't read.
All you have to do is check.
We didn't want to tell anybody that when we were on the record.
Eric.
Right, Lytle?
Yeah, right.
Ace Sand and Gravel, Road, Rock, and Gravel, $27,979.36.
I like it.
Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Myron got here finally. Okay. Beatrice Concrete Company Sand and Gravel, $34,263.48.
County Rock, County Gravel, Township, Rock and Gravel.
So we'll stick the townships for that. Black Hills Energy. Pay attention.
Got it.
$57.71. City of Wymore Road Utilities, $103.46. Constellation New Energy Road Utilities, $36.53. Midwest Service and Sales Road Lumber, $18,854.72. Orsland's Card Service Road Pipes, miscellaneous, $181.46. Pam's Cleaning and Shampooing Road Janitorial, $140. R.L. Teeman Construction Incorporated, 25816.03. Let's turn that one down. Oh, I didn't know you were listening.
He wasn't.
25816.03. Road Builders, 327.64. Rush Creek Quarries, Road Rock and Gravel, 1054.15.
Is that Beekman? Fresh Creek.
Send it out the door that time. It's on the time clock. It's,
you did.
That's right.
That's he
got four bid on it or something. Then he
got some good versus
everything
that we're
harder
stuff.
Yep.
Good.
Good.
Shorts Paper Company, 7182. Sunbelt Rentals, 950. Surplus Center, $65.72. Top Coat Inc. Road Armor Coating. You ready? Take a deep breath. $227,000.
Plus, I think there's 206 later, so okay. A little bit over 430.
Tractor Supply Company, $262.90. Ultra Chem Inc., $210.84. Westlake Hardware, $85.40. Hey, we're doing good.
We're doing good. We're right down here.
Thank you.
Okay, Beatrice Area Chamber of Commerce Visitors Promotion Contract, $4,749.43. Cypress Benefit Administrators, $24,600.76. Looks like you better take these apart. Gage County Health Insurance Fund, $30,476.96. Top Coat, this is the one you're talking about. Top Coat Incorporated, Inheritance Armor Coating, $206,394.24.
Because we originally in the budget, we were going to take so much out of inheritance fund. And Galen had budgeted so much
our total deal was 433.
I'll tell you what, between you and Galen, you sure do spend an awful lot of money, I'll tell you that. Boy.
Oh, hi, Galen. I didn't see you got here.
You're holding it from me.
No, I was looking for you all over the place. I walked all over that Holiday Inn looking for you, Myron. But you're
you did. Nowhere to be I was found. Probably at a meeting, you
I
know.
Found,
did you,
I think I found you, the Konica here.
What time of the day was it, Myron?
I think it, look.
I was
look,
going from early in the morning until I went at 9:30, 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, it's on the back of this one?
I think it got stapled, hooked together.
Well, no wonder. Yeah. No wonder, see?
Well, sometimes when they're doing that.
No, it got stapled in the back of the
district court here. Just making some hard on everybody else?
There it is.
Who are you talking about?
I just like making it hard on everyone.
Staple that one together. But
you're, yeah. Not for you.
That's why we didn't find it, Barry. Yeah, you need to initial that one. You wouldn't have found it either. You know what I mean? Not on the back.
No. That's why I suspected it just got hooked. When they grabbed them to staple them, then it got...
It's not the one with no quarterly fees.
You got a thin packet there.
He looks at the old
yeah,
owners,
very much
old
honored.
Owners. They really beat you for taxes, don't
I like
don't
to see, man.
Yes, you know, do.
How can you pay for that much?
There's meter use. You just
want
to hear. Maybe this is a regular.
Is this for stamps, too, then?
No. This is a stamp. Okay, this is their meter. This is their meter contract, not fees. It must just be under that line.
Oh, here was the time period, though. Contract coverage.
Yep. That's
for a whole year about.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Complete. That's what makes more sense.
Yeah. And that, yeah. When she called, one of them called me, and Julie said, you got an interest.
Dun, 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 dun. Terry, how's that truck coming?
If you don't get your stuff in.
Our super special lawn care side loader, side dumper.
We're pulling it in this morning. We got all the stuff there built.
Oh, I didn't know if you were working on it yet or not.
Yes.
This is the way
got the little
it.
Hoist there.
Is it going to be awesome?
Hell yes.
Well, are we going to be able to dump on the ground? Yeah. Compactor?
Not a compactor.
Okay.
Don't get that.
Side dump too, or is it rear dump?
Side.
Yeah. If this goes good, take all your notes because we're probably going to need more of them.
8:32 on the clock. We are done with finance.
Your wife, why you
are?
Okay.
8:32 on the clock. We'll start road and bridge.
Thank you.
Myron's got some work.
Start with the Board of Supervisors report. Dirt crew. They chat rocked the railroad crossing on Hoyt Road again. Bladed the Odell areas. When we had that rainy stretch. Worked on some silt fence on the PWF. We done a little bit more shouldering on the PWF. In the north of 22 Elm on the PWF, we replaced a 48 inch with a 60 inch tube on that. And today we're replacing, I believe it's a 24-inch on that same mile. And there's another one at the end.
Galen, are you shutting down the road when you're doing that?
Yes. Yep. I think the 60-inch, I think it was shut down for 3 days, I believe, on that. Then we reopened it over the weekend, and it's shut down again today because they have two more to replace in that section of road.
That's on the PWF?
PWF. Yep, the west segment.
Okay.
Asphalt crew, they finished brooming off the armor coat roads.
I will.
Part of the crew was cutting weeds around the bridges. We milled over a tube on the Y-more to 112 asphalt. It had kind of a dip and a bump in it. We milled that down, and then they asphalted over that last week. Today there is a... another tube that right outside of Liberty that we put in, it has settled down. They're going to mill that and then asphalt it over tomorrow. So we're going back and trying to catch up and smooth up some of these tubes that have been in for a while.
But you got on here, you milled the tube on Weimar 112.
Yes.
That's a state road.
Well, you should have put it on Wymore. Highway 112 to 112.
Okay.
Or Wymore to Highway 112.
Wymore.
Yeah. I okay. call it the Wymore back road, but on that. bridge crew. They've done deck repair in Grant Township, also east of 7 Rockford. And then there was another deck that we repaired in Midland Township. dug some cornerstones from the county surveyor. Also, we removed and replaced a 48-inch culvert east of 32 Highland. The bottom was rusted out of that. Then last week, a tree fell halfway across the county road east of, or in east of, I think it was east of 12 Hooker, I believe it was. On that. Basically, that's what they've been doing. They've hauled a little bit of riprap to repair some footings on a box culvert in Nemaha Township also.
Galen, I guess I haven't drove it lately, but the PWF, how far has that shouldering got?
PWF, we've got 3 miles done. We've got about a half a mile on the south side done.
Okay.
And that's where we put in that 60-inch tube last week.
Okay.
And then, like I said, there's two more in the end of that half mile to do. And I would like to, now that it's getting so hot, it makes that asphalt tender, I'd like to try to get the remainder of that half mile on the south side done and then quit and go to laying culverts for this summer.
Galen, those culverts that are out, you know, we put out for bids, when are them expected to show up? You got any idea?
There's one coming in Wednesday for up to east of 6 Hooker, and there's another
okay,
one coming
so
in
it'll
Thursday.
All work out. They're going to be there. And
yep, they're starting to come in now.
Switch over to that, yeah. Okay.
Galen, while we're talking culverts and stuff, that the last day of the meeting out there Friday morning, Schoenweiser, whatever his name is, with the roads department, I just won't bring it up now. He was there, and he gave update on some of the road stuff. And he made the comment that, you know, this bridge match program, and he talked about that and how it was going and that some of the first ones are just going to start working on now. Mm-hmm. But he made the comment, somebody asked him, they allocated approximately $4 million out of that $40 million, and that got 60-some bridges or culverts bridges or whatever. But he made the comment then, well, when are you going to do it again? And he says, it will be this year we will be taking proposals again.
Okay.
So I didn't know if you knew that or not.
Well, I knew it'd be, they're talking about it later on in the year.
Later on in the year.
Probably go out for round two.
Are you visiting with Minnelli to see if we could, because he talked again about being creative and doing that and being, you know, different counties and all that. He talked about that. That was big the first time go around, you know, and you said that too, you know, and stuff. So are we getting together with Minnelli so that we, my point is, when they have that, you know, they only gave you 30 days or 60 days, you had to move
yes.
with your proposal so that we have something yes. again, because that's huge if we can get another
yeah.
another project done again in there.
Last year when they sent out the original locations on that qualified for these projects, at that time I'd turned in to Mark. Well, I'm going to say there was about 15 to 20 projects so they could get started on the initial surveys and stuff like that just to have it started. So, and now that group, and I'm going to talk to Mark about this, there is that truss bridge on the south of Holmesville down there. And I'm going to talk to Mark to see, because that was on that list. I'm going to talk to him to see if there's possibly some way we could get that in there to get that replaced. It's one of those that has the main beams underneath with the bottom flange just rusted on it. I'm going to see if possibly that might not be able to work in there.
Boy, that'd make John happy.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Don't say it out loud until you know
it. Yeah, don't tell you.
But, I mean, that's one of them that sticks out of the top of my head, you know, to do.
Yeah.
We have a lot of other little ones. And last go-around, when we turned in a couple sites for a replacement for culvert projects, I think the reason that we got turned down on a couple of them is they're looking at your traffic and the type of traffic and whether emergency personnel vehicles, you know, utilize it and stuff like this. And I thought for sure we'd probably get that one out here by the golf course east of town. But that one was turned down too. So as I'm looking through the list that I turn in, I've been trying to pick all the county road locations that was on that first. And there is also a truss bridge that's north of Philly on Hickory Road, just off of the Adams-Philly Blacktop to the to the west, about a half mile or three quarter. That's on that list.
Galen? Excuse me.
Yep.
What about that one south of Claytonia?
Bring it over.
That's not on the list.
That's not on it?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's one of those fracture critical ones, the one by Philly, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a truss bridge, yes. So that's another one that I'm going to talk to Mark about, because just upstream a ways, there's on underneath the blacktop, there is a box culvert on that. So I thought that might be and there's downstream, there's a box culvert. So I thought maybe that would be a good one. So but I've been looking at that list a little bit, trying to pick out the ones, some heavy traveled roads and stuff, and hoping that maybe we can get some more other than, you know, just one.
You know, like, I mean, this time that for us, it's over 100,000 they're matching, right? You know, anytime we can do something like that, I mean, that puts it basically at half price. I mean, that's huge if we can keep doing that. Because the way he talked, he says that would probably be an 8 to 10 year project. They hope to have that done. It's $40 million. They're only using about $4 million a year. So they're hoping to get this done in, you know, maybe wrapped up in 10 years, he said, you know. And he says they didn't touch that. The legislature didn't touch that fund this time.
Yes.
He said that was huge. They did cut, like, their department, they cut, I thought he said, he gave numbers, and I can't remember all the numbers. But each of the roads department, he says, we had some road funding cut, too, and stuff, you know, that we're going to have a little less. But that bridge match one, he said, at one time they were afraid that would maybe even get cut, but they did not cut that bridge match one, he said. So, and just much as an update, so glad you're working on it and stuff, because if we could get another $100,000 match out of the state again, that'd be huge.
Go ahead and get two or three more of those.
Yeah.
I'm going to try.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, I'll talk to Mark more in depth, but that's trying to kind of weasel or get him down to about three of them or so.
Yeah.
And I'd really like to get that bridge south of Holmesville on there, if possible. But I'll do some talking with Mark on that.
The other good thing with Mark is he's tied in with all those groups that actually talk about it.
Yeah.
He's on the inside, so before it even comes out to us, he already knows about
and
it.
And he knows what they want to see, too. Yep.
That helps a bunch. Really does. So, the other thing I got on the for board approval is utility permit 1067. Windstream Nebraska Incorporated will be plowing in 490 feet. 5 foot below ditch and boring 400 feet, 6 foot below the flow line, 3 foot inside the south right-of-way. And this is to move a cable for county bridge or culvert project C341085. This is located in the southwest quarter, section 25, township 3 north, range 6 east, Riverside Township. This is on Linden Road. I call it the back way into Holmesville. We've got a little bitty 20-foot bridge sits down the bottom. It's narrow, and this will be replaced with I believe it's an 84-inch pipe on that.
So you have done it already. You will be replacing the pipe. Yeah.
You will be replacing it. They've got to lower the telephone line runs on the edge of the bridge right now. They're going to bore that underneath the creek.
That was a project that, if I remember right, wasn't that started, not started, but it's been out there
for a while.
That
was one on the culvert. That's one of the culverts coming in. That
okay.
Took bids on.
Oh, okay. No. That is one of them.
Yep. That's coming in, I believe, Thursday.
Yeah, that could be. That could use replacement.
Yeah, and that'll make that road pretty nice, because that's the only little narrow structure on that. Well, there's a concrete one off of 77, but that'll be a nice improvement for that road down there in the bottom.
Anything for John?
Yeah. that's the only thing I had, and that'll be on the consent agenda. So go into Road and Bridge Report. Last Thursday at 11 o'clock, they closed the road east of 5 Lincoln. And that's where we're putting in the box culvert on the blacktop, Ellis Blacktop. They got started on it. When I was out there Friday morning, they had the bridge deck off, and we're working on getting the bridge off, tore out of there. I haven't been back there since Friday to see what kind of progress they made, but God, when they get that deck after it's tore off and you stand up there and look down, that's a lot deeper hole than what you think it is. So, but I'm glad to have them in there and getting started.
How long is that project supposed to be?
If I remember right, when they originally talked about this, it'd be about 2 months.
And then,
so, be closed. Next item I have is for our bridge match program, we got the interlocal agreements back from Johnson and Nemaha County. And forwarded a copy to NDOR and also to Jeff with Manelli Wagners. Jeff had also called and asked if wanted the contractor or Gage County when we replaced that bridge match program there north of Odell on there. There's going to be approximately 120 foot of asphalt removed for that project when they put the box culvert in there. He wanted to know if the county wanted to do that or if he should put it in the bids for the contractor to replace that. And like we talked, he said, well, if there ain't no asphalt around, that would cost an awful lot for a contractor to do that for asphalt. So I asked him, I said, well, could we put it in there as an option for the contractor to replace that with concrete and then see what kind of price came up, and if they say might be cheaper, go ahead and concrete that in. So he is going to put that in the bid specs as an option for a bid to whether we'd go with concrete or if the county puts it back with asphalt.
Where's that at?
This is right north of Odell, about 3 miles.
It's that bridge match.
That bridge match program.
Oh, okay, it is that one. Okay. Yep. That's that bridge on the bridge match program.
Yes, yes. And Jeff also sent a copy of the final signed plans and a copy of the bid documents, the engineering estimate, and the hydraulic data to the project coordinator with NDOR for local projects. And once NDOR approves this, and this is all for that bridge match program, then the county will set a letting date and finalize the bid documents. But after, there will be no field construction work done until the easements are acquired and the core permits have been issued for the project. So that's finally all got together and being sent in and to get this rolling to get the let for bids on all three for Johnson and Nemaha and Gage County on this.
And he talked about, too, that the state can do the environmental studies now.
Yes.
They don't have to go back and forth with the federal, send it in to get approval. They send it back for something. The state now can do it.
That'll help.
The state can do the final environmental approval for these projects. He thought that would cut up to a year off of
most
of the bridges.
Yeah.
Maybe more.
Because that environmental study on the federal aid bridge up there in north of Adams,
yeah.
See, they had to redo that, you know, because of time lapse again. And they've been working on that for quite some time. And I got a new bill for the engineering from Speece Lewis for them gathering the information to give to Olson's so they could complete the study for that. And that's, at least twice that's been done now, you know, because maybe probably three times for the time span that's been.
He said the only caveat to that is, he says, if somewhere in the future then the federal government comes in and does audits or whatever, or something doesn't turn out right or whatever, mm-hmm. the state's liable then for...
Oh, really?
The environmental part of that not being correct. You know what I mean? If they approve something, they approve this environmental study, 2-3 years down the road, something, whatever, you don't know what, shows up that wasn't the right way or something wasn't done right, the state, though, then, the federal government won't be the one on the hook for it. It's the state going to be the one on the hook for it. That, he said that's the only caveat to that.
Just like you always say, the state patrol needs to get out of our county.
Yeah.
The EPA needs to get out of the state, too, and leave us alone.
Yeah. Well, when he said that, I go, oh, that means somewhere in the next 3, 4, 5, 6 years, they will come down and make an example of somebody. You know, I'm not saying they will.
They'll do some checking. That's for sure.
They will.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Next item I had a call from Ed Bullerson with Highland Township. Wanted to know what the criteria was to get the county to take over Township Road. The Township Road that he's talking about is Highway 41 and South 112 up to, you go a mile south of 41 on 12, and there's, they call it Deer Haven out there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying with all them houses out there, the traffic has really increased on that. So I told him, I said, well, let me kind of update myself on this, because I said I haven't messed with something like this for a while, so I'll do some checking. But anyway, after looking back on a couple other ones that had been done prior to this, I called Ed back and told him, I said, well, the first thing you got to do is take a traffic count, do a traffic study. And I said, we've always tried, if possible, to switch, say, a mile of county road for a mile of township road. And on this, but I said I got to do some checking on this, and I do have the traffic counters out on that road right now. There is two entrances into Deer Haven. There's one off of Birch Road, about not quite a half mile to the east of South 12 Road, and that's, I call it the east entrance, because that dam and the creek kind of splits that into two pieces. Then if you go let's see here. Eight homes. The west entrance, I call it the west entrance, has about eight homes located in that. And then when you go on into the next mile, it's about 3/10 of a mile south on 12, there's the other entrance into Deer Haven, and there was there's nine homes on the west entrance and eight homes located when you go south Road 12. So there's a total of 17 homes right in that development. Then there is a farmhouse or two right in that area also that come out and utilize those two roads and go on up to Highway 41. So I am in the process of doing the traffic count on that just to see what kind of traffic's coming out of there. Once I get this information together, I'll bring it back to you.
But as far as you can tell, normally we've been always trading them.
We traded something
with it.
Yeah.
The only one out there by Tiemann's house, then we just took it over. So
yeah. Well, and that one up there on the... Oh, the one, we're going to trade.
On Matt's road there.
No, I thought we just took that one over.
No, we're going to trade a half for a half.
Didn't we just take Tiemann's road over? We didn't trade.
Oh, no, that's a half mile for a half mile. Just trying to help out the township.
I know it.
But I don't know for sure if they're on the Apple and for that mile going south in Nutville. I don't know if we traded anything on that. I don't think we did. I got to do some checking.
Oh, on 82nd, 96. 82nd is the highway. Yeah, 96 there, that mile there.
Yeah, going south.
Going south.
Isn't that in Myron's district?
That was before I was on the board, though. Yeah.
on that one there, I'm not sure. But the big difference on that one is it teed right off of a county road.
Right.
This one up there on South 12, I haven't had a chance to study it, but I think we'd have to deadhead probably 3 or 4 miles to get over to this off our closest county road.
He does.
I think 54 road.
He does 54th road. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that would be a difference on that.
That'd be about the closest one around there, wouldn't it?
That I can think of. Yes.
Others are up by Cortland or whatever. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's way south.
I told Ed. I said I got to get all this information together and take it back to Road and Bridge, and then we'll see what happens on that.
But they're wanting from 41 south on 112?
Yeah, from 41 south on 12.
On 12.
12. South 12 road. It's a 70... mile and 3/10 to the entrance.
It is? Near
to the the entrance on the east side of the lake.
Yeah.
And then you go to from a mile south and then go over on Birch, to the, I call it the west entrance, about a half mile. So those two feed in together, and I presume we'll find out with the traffic counts, because I'm putting one on the end of the mile on off of 12 and for that Birch section, and then I'm putting one off of Highway 41 and down there just north of the, I call it the south entrance, and we'll see what kind of traffic funnels into that going north.
It's 77 and 41 corner there, the east one. Then you go a mile. It's that mile going south there. That's where that's at.
We'll see what kind of traffic there is first.
Yeah.
Then last week, Fred Wright with Sicily Township stopped in and asked if they could get some spot gravel. He said, I don't want rock. I want spot gravel. And I said, on West Pine Road, and this is from Highway 112 to the Odell Blacktop on West Pine Road. And he said ever since they started doing the work on this, on the Highway 112, the traffic is really cutting across there. So, and then he said also just a mile south on that road there also, and that's West Plum Road. So I said, I got to take a look at your roads. And I said, they got soft spots in or anything? No, he said, there's some areas where I'm a little shy of material, and he says, if I don't have material there, I'm afraid I'll lose my crown, especially if they close the road down and the traffic gets real heavy. So I went out and I drove both stretches from, there's 3 miles from Highway 112 going west over to South 66 Road or the Odell Blacktop. And basically what I found, most of his roads have very good gravel on them. Now there was spots coming off, and this is off of West Pine Road. Coming off the highway, there is a spot, I'm going to say probably about 12, 13 ton. That it had gravel on the road. There wasn't much of a windrow. As you go on, head on west down into the, to the concrete bridge, the bottom of the hill, there's a spot. And as you go across, there's probably four or five spots where it's just shy of gravel. And I presume these are the spots he's talking about. And also when I went down to Plum, there was probably a half a dozen, five to six places the same way, just shy of gravel for some reason. Because the other place, he had great gravel on the road and quite a gravel ridge along there. So at this time, in that one pine road cutting across, I know that gets is fairly heavy travel road going in the back way into Wymore. But the only thing I could see why he was wanting more gravel is because in those areas, for some reason over the years, it's got to be shy in those spots. At this time, I don't think it's from the travel, you know, for extra traveling, but that's what he's after, is to get more gravel.
He runs the patrol for that.
Yes.
He does.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is he board member?
Yes.
And does both. You know, and he lives on one of those.
Yes.
I'll be darned.
Well, anyway, he stopped there and talked to me about it, too. And I said, well, the road, usually the policy is the road's bad enough, you got ruts. Well, no, you know, if you need spots fixed, it's going to be inch and a half rock, you know.
Yep.
And that's always been our policy.
Yep.
You
yep.
know, if it's that bad,
yep.
you know. I mean, he ought to know if they're shy gravel that would be on their gravel list, wouldn't it?
Well, he should.
Because he patrols them as
yes.
well as is on the board.
Yes. And it's just me. I think he's wanting to get some material in there. For nothing.
No.
I mean, that's the
yeah.
All
the end of, that's yeah. the bottom line.
He's going to blame, or he's going to blame the increased traffic cutting across, you know, from Highway 112 being closed. It's like I told him. I said, it ain't even closed yet. I said, the traffic's flowing, you know, through there.
I don't know if that's the case yet. I mean, if they're going to cut through, they'll go down the Odell Road and turn at the booster station. What I've seen, or the other road, you know.
The county road that cuts
the,
through
the
there.
The county blacktop road,
yep.
PWF.
Yep.
You know, right there. If somebody's going to cut, I think it's just local traffic.
Yeah.
Maybe it's increased a little, yep. but not a hell of a lot. So.
So
I throw that one in the trash.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Yeah.
I know when I say it, at this time anyway, it's not from increased traffic. It's just from years of, for some reason, lack of gravel in them spots. So
I think between 7th and 8th on Summit Street is much more important.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is boils down to, if I do it for his two roads,
yeah.
then I'm going to
yeah.
have to start doing that for all the townships.
Yeah. Somebody's going to want gravel here, gravel there, and it'll be a disaster.
Yep. We just discussed a little bit on PWF that we're out there right now. We're laying some culverts. If it don't get too hot before I get those done, I would like to try to finish that one half mile on the south side and then quit and go to lay in our project tubes for the county till this fall. If it gets too hot, then I'll replace the rest of the culverts that I've got to replace on that stretch so I can let the traffic beat them in for 1 to 2 months, and then I'll overlay on top of them so it's all ready to go again this fall on that section of road. So, the only thing that I have left is Myron had called me last week about the back road into Adams.
Yep.
On that.
Now what, Myron?
Same old, same old.
I did go up.
I don't think we can do that. We're spending all our money down in Odell, aren't we? I don't think we have any.
Well, no, we in the last month, it's a speed as much as anything, but on that curve going out of Adams, the first half mile, or Galen can talk about it, the first half mile is actually the towns. We grade it, but there's been two wrecks there. Roll upside down, roll over.
Well, that one kid was leading the cop.
Yeah. Leading the cop. Well, the speed as much as anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
well,
I did.
What do you want to bank that or?
No, but
I did go up there. And I did go up and look at that, and I See, that was on a Tuesday, because I think it was that Monday we had off, or so. It was a long weekend. Anyway, I think it's Tuesday
holiday.
When you...
Yeah.
It was a Monday was a holiday, so yes. It's Tuesday when I went up and looked at it. And I drove the whole stretch from the Pickerel gravel going north into Adams and looked at it. And in our usual place, in between the curves coming out, that did have a lot of ripples, some potholes. The curve, I call it the... actually be the third curve that we usually have all the complaints was it was actually the better out of the other two on that. Jim happened to be up there on the Pickerel gravel, putting the gravel away in a windrow that they'd finished hauling up there. So I stopped and I talked to him and told him of the concerns again and then also of a concern that I had somebody made the comment that he was going down the road blading with his blade straight. And I asked him about that, and he says, when I do that, most of the time, he says, I'm trying to cover all my roads after we have a rain to pull a little more material across them. And he says, I've got 51 miles, and if I try to move the windrow, I can only get a percentage of them done in between rains. And I said, well, I understand that. But I said, you got to understand that when you blade straight like that, number one, when you just scatter that gravel across, it gets into them potholes. About the first 10 cars, it's all out of the potholes. And I said, another thing, if you're in a hurry and you're blading straight, then your machine gets to jumping a little bit,
yep.
And you're making those ripples worse.
Yep, been there.
So after some talk with him, I said, this road and Apple Road, that first mile and 96 road, I said, these two roads is the ones that I get the most complaints off of.
Yep.
You're heaviest traveled. You got a lot of truck traffic, especially on this back road. And I said, I understand that you got 51 miles, but I said everybody else does too, and they've got heavy traveled roads. So I said, let's try one thing from now on. I said, kind of prioritize your roads. And I said, the first thing you do is on these two heavy traveled roads, no more straight blading. I said, go out there if the potholes are bad or whatever. I said, try to cut those out first and then go and move your windrow across. I said, do that. And he said, well, I can't let my other roads go. I said, no, I'm not talking about letting them. But I said, these are your highest traveled, so give them priority. Okay, if you don't happen to make the whole circle and we have another rain, we can't do nothing about it. So I went, and he said, okay. So he worked them, and he did cut the ripples and stuff out. But when I went back across them the following day, you could still, even with the sun glaring, you could still see them ripples a little bit, and you could still feel them. And he said, well, when he's cutting, he says, you wouldn't believe it, but he said in those few days, the road got real hard. And he says, if I would have really bared down, he says, then I'd go through it on that crust. So I thought about it a while, and I said, okay, we're going to try one more thing. I said, we're going to get... right now they're in Claytonian, he's using them, those Sandvik blades. What they are, they're motor grader blades that have little roller cones on them. And we're going to put that set on. I said, we're going to leave that set on this patrol all summer. And that way when it's hard, you can still cut them ripples out and all.
Ah.
So, and they work great. The only downfall is you got to watch and kind of, if they're talking a wet stretch, you want to ease off a little bit because they can create you, if they don't have enough traffic to beat that back down in, they can create a soft spot in your road. So we're going to try
Caleb,
those on there.
That's some little things are just, but I mean, don't they wear off too? I guess maybe I misunderstood.
They do. They're a set of blades, and they got they're called Scarefire.
I know what you're talking about.
They're little roller cones. They got carbide tips on them.
Yeah.
And there are some counties that their guys.
Do you have to replace them then?
After that tip wears off of there,
okay.
Then you have to replace those.
Okay, so you don't replace the blade; you just replace the tip.
Just those little.
Okay, I got
tips. They're not cheap, but I know some counties they run them year round, and you can take and take those to...
Well, don't you leave little marks? Or maybe if it's an angle, you don't see it as much, or what?
You won't see it as much because you're going to be moving your windrow across also when you're doing that.
Oh, okay.
See, you can grab your windrow
and
do it all in one pass. You don't have to go and cut those out first, unless they're severe on that.
Okay.
So, and there may be times you might see a little cut in it, yes. But you can control the depth, because they'll go in about this deep when they're new. So, and you can control that by tipping your blade back a little bit
to
only skim the surface, or the more you tip your blade forward, the deeper you'll get. And sometimes you might have to make two passes if they're severe. So we're going to try that.
But you got to leave that on there all the time, or you switch that off for certain miles? Or
we're going to leave that on all the time. Because, like I said, you control the what you want to cut by tipping your blade forward for more depth, yeah, or back, and then you just kind of, just like a regular motor grader blade on the back. Because they're real thick where them roller cones go through, that back lip where they go through is, well, probably about 2 inches thick that them actually pound out into, and then they stick out about this far.
Yeah.
So
here, Galen, I guess my only question is, why the hell would you have to tell him that? Not the blades, not switching the blades, but go over that damn road. That's a priority. That's where if it's bad, you go out there every other day and hit it, and then go do the rest of your roads. I don't understand that.
Well, part of it is, like he said, he was trying to cover his whole 50 miles.
Well, I get that. I mean,
know, and when you have those, like it was raining every other day or every twice a week or once a week, by the time it depends on what you had for weather, whether it be the next day or half a day if the sun come out and the wind blew so he could get on them. And then, see, he was always, he'd try to complete a circle. So sometimes he'd leave them two roads go so he could try to catch up with some of his other roads.
I know, but there's other roads up there that probably got a fourth of the traffic. If I was running that damn thing, those two roads you talked about would be my priority. That'd be the first thing I'd think about when I get in the morning. Is that road turned to shit already? And then get the other last time. But I'm not complaining. No, I'm just saying I don't understand his thinking there.
But I'll agree with you, Galen. Those two roads, and for the mile or 2 miles in there or whatever, he should probably do those two times compared to the others.
He should try.
Just one circle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly, Myron. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
No.
Another mile or two go someplace.
Well, after about the fourth or fifth phone call in 3 days, I decided I better call Galen. And I apologize if I chewed on you a little bit.
No, but in that section coming through town that we have, I'm trying to find the definite line with where we quit, whether it's out there north up there where Mites built that new development there.
Yeah, right by that driveway?
I'm trying to find out if it's there or else down there by, I think it's Ash Street that comes out just a little bit north of Ash Street.
Oh, the one that comes out on the curve you're
right
talking
there,
about.
Right there by the city maintenance building.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a little bit. I got two different books that show the limits at different places for city limits.
Oh, it's where the town city limits is at.
Yes, yes. Because really we shouldn't be in there anyway. Either we need to do it all, do it and forget it, or there's sometimes that he'll let that go and start where he thinks the county should start, and then he goes on. He don't do that first curve all the time if he got to go on south of that. So as soon as I find that out, I'll probably talk with the city guy and say, hey, we're not going to maintain this inside your city boundaries anymore. We're going to start here, and we're going to go north. Because, like you said, that accident, that's what happened. They were running from the
deputy
and, So anyway, but that still doesn't make the
speed caused it then around the curve and all the ripples in there, and that's where they lost it. But the other one was coming north, and when they came around that curve, they were going into town, and they lost it. And there was a cement culvert there by the railroad. They landed just to the side of that cement culvert, upside down in the ditch. And that was probably maybe a month and a half, 2 months earlier and stuff, so... I have several of the town people I've had discussion with and stuff too, and I tried telling them, well, you guys go out there and grade the thing then.
Do they have a blade?
Oh, yeah.
Town itself, town uses Behrens's.
Is that what they use that sits there by the...
Town don't... they've got one that sits there, but that's Hooker Township's that sits there.
Oh, okay.
Because and Doug Schoenweiss talked to me too then, and Doug says, well, if we let the town use town and their grader operator use it, then what do they do with the town? I said, well, that'd be up to you guys, to grade that theoretical half mile or whatever they have, and stuff. Because it got bad enough there for a while that somebody said, well, just let somebody else. I said, good. That's when I started talking to them guys. Well, Hooker could, since they've got their grader sitting there at the town building, well, let them do that half mile, Then they could do it more often before they went out and did theirs or whatever. But Munoz can do it more often, too. I like your idea. He needs to hit that mile or 2 miles right there by town and then that mile up on Apple Road. He needs to do them twice compared to everything else once.
Yeah. And hopefully by putting on these Sandvik blades so he can actually cut those ripples every time, that after a few times especially if he hits it at least once a week, once we get them out of there, then I'm hoping they'll stay out.
Can I help?
So we're going to try that and see what happens and go from there on that.
Well, I was a little worried because when I went through Adams, you know, I noticed that Myron was sitting in the tavern there crying and worried about this. So you might want to take care of him.
Well, after about the fourth or fifth guy chewed on you, yeah, you do cry in your beer.
No. Is that it, Myron?
That's all I got.
Yeah, get it straight
there. At
least
tell the city, you know, instead of like the state does to us, and they just stop maintaining it, but they don't tell us.
Yeah. Because when I was, the city actually thinks they have it up to where their road goes into their lagoons.
They call it Glenn Osteen's North Line Fence, which is right by that road. They put that road right south now of Glenn Osteen's line fence there.
Okay, yeah,
that's what the city guys have told me too, that that's where they have it up to.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if they're right or I agree with you. Research it.
Yeah, because I have one map shows one way and the other map shows the other way, so I'm going to find out for sure and go from there.
Well, I'm pretty sure, and I don't know about when they built those three houses on that hillside, but I'm pretty sure that. See, they got city water line and everything out there, so I'm pretty sure that's, I don't know what they do or how they do their city lines or whatever, city, if that was in the city or if they had to annex that to the city or what, I don't know.
Well, one of the maps that I have that shows that actually the city has from the center of the road over, and then the other from the center of the road would be the counties. That goes down, south of that, what is that, Ash Road, down or Ash Street.
Oh, really?
Through
right.
there. Yeah. But then the other one shows that the whole thing up to that area is clearly in the limits of Adams.
I'd use that map then.
Well, I'd like to. I'm going to find out for sure which one is
well,
correct
the,
and go from there.
The guy that lives right there on the east side, Dennis Evers, they pay city sewer. They don't have the city sewer. They don't have city water. Well, I guess they don't pay city water and stuff, but they've always paid for city electricity rates.
Oh, really?
Always paid city electricity rates, and they just put a light. They just put a city pole up there because of the new driveway in. And one day in the cafe, he says, "Yeah, been paying all these years for city electric utilities, and now we finally have a street light."
I love it.
It's a higher rate. It's a higher rate than what he would be if he was farm or whatever.
Because I did have a call last Friday from Olson's Associates, and I guess they're getting ready to put up another water tower. Up there and stuff, because he was asking if they had to have a permit. I said, yeah, and I did have Becky email him a permit, so they got to run water lines in and put up a tower and stuff like that, so I guess that must be something they're getting started on.
Well, they're quite a ways into the discussion, because they were ready to get going pretty, I don't know how far into it was, and the one city council guy says some of the costs were just outrageous, and he says, why? Well, because that's what Olson's and them said that's what it'd be. Well, I don't make Olson's right, he goes. So then they had some more discussion and arguments about it, you know, and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know what they're doing. Well, they're having to dig a new well, too, because their nitrates are high again and stuff. So.
Okay. So, but that's all I've got.
Yeah.
Anybody else? All in, all out.
Okay. Surprise.
I got my butt chewed out more times this week. You guys got something? Okay.
Well, I don't have anything.
Talked to Galen a little bit about there the road in E-Energy. Well, the Jake Brakes, the guy that lives there on the east side.
Enjoys them? On the west side or east side?
On the east side of on the road there.
Yeah.
He was at a garage sale this winter, and he bought a no Jake Brakes city ordinance and stuff sign. He found it at a garage sale, so he puts it up right in our shoulder about 3 foot off the highway. Well, there's a lot more to the story, but I won't get into all the rest of it because he might have been in trouble with the law. He waited down at the stop sign until the guy come over the hill with Jake Brakes, and he went out and talked to him in his semi. Yeah. You know, that's side point. But then I got E-Energy called me and says, we can't put it there. And so I called Galen. We cannot put it in. We have no policy for the county right away for Jake Brakes.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. How far does the county right away go on that road? 33 feet?
There by his house on the east side, it could be a little further. I'd have to see if I could find the old plans.
Well,
on the west side, it's at least 33 feet.
At least. So you think it might be more than 33
feet? It's possible. I don't remember, because I know they bought a little bit more right-of-way through there when they...
From me, yeah. They bought, but this is right up on top of the hill by the driveway. You find out, because I went and talked to him. He was not happy. And then he goes, well, good. He says, then I'll put it up on your land. Because I said you had to put it up on your land. You mean you can't put it on the right of way. You put it up on your land.
Who'd the county buy all that ground from?
This is 10 years ago.
Why? Why would he put it up on your land? You're not complaining.
I'm not complaining, but I go, I knew he was going to ask that when I went down there, so I said, heck yeah, go ahead and put it up. That way he entered. He has guys at 2, 3 in the morning that run their Jake brakes coming out of there loaded with DDGs, and his windows are rattling in his house.
Saving the brakes.
After several nights of that, he was pissed. That's why he did all.
Why is this just coming up now?
No, he was upset when it first came in. He's talked to me probably 4 or 5 times and stuff. So, but I need to know how far the right of way is and stuff. So,
see if I can find that prince down there.
But he can put it up, but there's no enforcement on it.
There's no enforcement, no nothing. He can't put it up. The county has no policy to allow those in county right of way. Correct? Am I phrasing that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't allow them. Basically, we don't allow them on our county right of way. Yeah, right.
The signs. But we allow the Jake breaks.
State patrol guy was the one that gave him the okay, says, put the sign up. And he puts it up.
Oh, right, really?
He did. He visited with state patrol over the thing.
Even if he puts it up, though, I mean, it's just like putting a sign up that says drive friendly. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it.
We're at this thing here, this benefit here north of town yesterday, though, and I had a guy that lives down by Diller, and he came up and talked to me. He said, hey, I heard you had some issues up there last week. He said the truckers, the word got around that the guy don't like Jake brakes. Yeah, he said the word got around in a hurry.
Well, just going to increase it, then, ain't it?
Well, that's...
Because if I remember right... When we had that other fall here a year or two ago out there by Homestead, and that gentleman wanted a Jake brake put up, and talked to Mark about it and stuff, the county does not have ordinances or cannot do ordinances, something like that.
Yep,
is what it was. And I know that's been several years ago already too, when this same guy up there at the ethanol approached the county about it. And I believe the same thing, you know, county don't do ordinances or something like that.
Roger said that too, because we've had an issue every now and then it'll come up, and the county cannot do certain, we cannot basically create ordinance or law. Cities can.
Yes.
The cities can do the Jake brake ordinances. The counties cannot by state statutes. We don't have that ability to. Yeah, we don't have no authority to do that. So.
What else you got, Myron?
That's all I had.
Oh, no.
Just well, I'll look. Oh, well, I got one more, but I got to talk to Galen about that. Anyway, it was trees on a road up there. Yeah. It's a county road, so.
Okay.
I was talking about it.
I'm cool. Done. I got nothing.
Okay.
Do we need to get a contribution going to replace your shoes?
Hey, you know what? Them things are hard when you walk on rock, too. Woo! Got to kind of shuffle your feet. Okay.
I heard at that benefit they raised almost $30,000.
Oh, really?
27.
Wow. They did crowd and stuff. That was a nice place down there. I've never been there.
I haven't been in that barn.
Slake? Was that
the Slake? Slake one, yeah. That was down in
Craig. And here they were up. I asked.
Where was it at, Myron?
Is it Ron and Sherry Craig?
Ron Craig, yeah. The UPS guy here, right here on Sergeant Road.
Okay. For Kyle and Courtney Schlake.
What? We're going to adjourn the meeting. Yeah, we're going to, 918, we're adjourning building Road and Bridge.
Where Jacobsons live now, and they built a house. They didn't last there very long, 2 or 3 years. I really don't know. And I'm not sure if Jacobson was the second owner or the third or whatever. But the original house, the owner's done gone. Anderson's, which in the other quarter, they buy that quarter, they move out there. He had cattle. build a livestock barn, build a hay shed. He has livestock. He fits right in there. I don't know what his problem is right now wanting to change it. I have no clue. What was that? That's all that's been built out there since then. So, all this has been A1 that we have out there now. I probably could say more, but I'll probably just shut up because we're going to come back here in 2 weeks.
The vote, the board will have discussion and vote on it in 2 weeks.
Okay.
There will not be a public hearing per se. The public can make comments at that meeting during public comment again on this.
So I can come back here in 2 weeks and get another 5 minutes.
There will be a spot in the meeting where you can.
Okay.
During the board's vote and discussion on it, it will not be. We'll have the Mazdas back so that they can give a brief report on their, if they can come back, just a brief report on their permit.
Okay. That's reserve the rest of my, what I want to say in 2 weeks.
If you're here by 8:45, we will explain during the meeting when you can make public comment. We cannot make a decision at that time during the public comment. Nor can the board ask you questions at that time, but that today we can ask you questions during this public hearing.
But in 2 weeks at 9:30, you'll have another open.
No, it will probably be earlier than that for the public comment. At 9:30 is when we're scheduling it to have our discussion and vote on it. Okay. You need to be here at 8:45 if you want to comment.
So at 9:30, when you start talking about it, we won't be able to say nothing. None of us.
The general public won't. You will be able to say something earlier in the meeting during the public comment.
Okay. So at 9:30,
yes,
nobody says nothing.
Not at 9:30. The public won't be speaking during the 9:30 part of it, okay?
Well, you're on the anhydrous saying you did.
Well, yep. We can have you come back and be the first part of it, okay?
Well, that's
fine. We will have a public comment during that meeting where you can talk on it. Yes,
I don't want to be here at the 8:45 deal. I want to be here at the 9:30.
Okay.
I got work to do.
But just so you're understanding, 9:30, the only people that can talk is if the board has a question for somebody that's in the audience. Otherwise, it's just a discussion here.
But nobody else will come up.
We will have the public comment for that permit right before the 9:30. So we'll probably have that about 9:15. So if you want it, that's what we've done for the last special use permit, the last two. We've had the public comment on the permit.
We have time.
Well, it's just public comment.
We do have. But we'll have it beforehand. Okay. So if you're here by 9:15,
okay,
we'll make sure you get
public comment. It's on anything.
And it's on public comment on anything. It doesn't have to be for the permit. It will be on
anything. I know when I was here with the anhydrous thing at 9:30, you opened it up and people got back up.
They got to
and
talk.
Are you going to do that again?
We will do that again.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
And Tracy, I didn't mean to not include you on
that.
Just in the plat book,
no,
it just says
We opened it up, and they had. That's when we had the public comment for that permit.
No, was it early?
Yes, we did last time. We had it because Denny and I had a conversation. We had it right before the board had their discussion and vote.
But that was just a public comment section, wasn't it?
That was just the public comment section. Yeah. It's not a public hearing. This is the public hearing today. So if you want to talk and you want the board to ask questions or comment, this is today. On that will be every one of our meetings has a public comment period. We have to have that open meetings law or whatever. We will start that at 9:30. We will start that by having what Tracy here is commenting on. We will have the public comment part of this permit starting at 9:30. So we will have the Mazas. You won't be first then. We will have the public comment part first. As soon as everybody that wants to publicly comment can or wants to, once that's done, then we will have the Mazas. We'll just clarify that time-wise better because Don says we have some other timed events earlier. So at 9:30, we will start the public comment part of it, and you can make comments there. But it'll be just on this permit. If you want to publicly comment on something else, it'll be earlier in the meeting.
You'll notice on the agenda that's on there every time we meet, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items, it makes a statement anyone may comment on any matter that is not on this agenda. So if you'd want to make a comment on this, you can't do it on the regular public comment, but you can make a comment when we have the hearing.
Okay. Myron, I got one more thing I'd like to ask of you. I know Denny in the anhydrous thing, you asked the Holtmeyers to have the neighbors come over to see what, show them what was going on. My request would be to you guys as a board member to come out and I'll give you a tour on what we have to go through out there. We got a four-wheeler, but we'll get you on there. I'll show you around. I'll get you down in the back so you guys have a better idea what we have to go through with these people than driving by with your window down and looking. Okay?
Thank you. Any more questions for Tracy?
I expect to hear from you.
One last time, Dick Gortzen, you're the last one we have on the list to speak. Anybody else not get signed in? Oh, well, no, Roger and Maz, you will be at the end here.
What? Yeah. I think Ryan wanted to talk at the end.
Not Roger. Ryan and Maz. No, we have one more speaker yet, Dick Gortzen.
Yeah.
This is the last one I have signed in besides the permit applicants coming back up and rebuttaling. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Go ahead.
I kind of feel like
name and address. Sorry.
Oh, 12914 West Scott Road, Beatrice, Nebraska. I kind of feel like the cleanup hitter here for some reason. I'm on the last. I am not against Ron and Terry C. Maza. I'm not against Mr. J. and Patty Jacobson, or any of other my neighbors. I stated in a letter previously that I was unable to attend at a hearing that I like all my neighbors, and I still do. I am here. Mr. J. stated he was here to for his support on his side. I'm here to support my side. I do not live or own land in this section you're talking about, but I own, Jim Ants and I own land to the north, and I live on that section, and we own land to the south, and I am standing here to protect our rights on that property because I believe if you go A1, we will be affected by your decision as far as anything we want to do as far as expansion or future growth on those acres. I believe there's probably something written in there on a buffer or something around this A1 district you're trying to rezone. If you went by what Mr. Rosine said, this hearing should have been over after he got down. I mean, it's pretty well black and white to me what you can or cannot do here, and I believe it's pretty well spelled out that way, that what he said. If it was looked at in 2010, the way Mike said, there was opportunity to change it then. It was not changed then. I guess that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Any questions? Anybody else not signed in that wants to talk? Other than the applicants here at the end. If not, you, Mr. Greenwood and Mazes or whoever wants to, this is your time. You can come up together however you want to handle it. It's your time for anything that's been commented on or your closing comments.
Okay. Well, I'm Ryan Greenwood.
Oh. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay.
Swear some, yeah. I'm from Domino Law, 2425 South 144th Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68144. As you may know, I represent Ron and Terry Sue Mazza, Steve MacArthur, Jerry and Patty Meyer, Christy Carnes, Ray Rohr, Robert Jacobson, Don and Steve Hipp, and Virgil Anderson, some of whom are not present today, and I'm speaking on their behalf. Okay. And so the intent of Ron Maza's application is simply to provide security and guidance to this particular parcel. Okay, during my comments, I'm first going to go over the history of this parcel and then get into the correct legal standard that you need to consider as you apply the facts to a standard to come up with your decision. So first, a brief history. As you've heard, multiple decades ago, the original landowner at this east half section 5 subdivided without any sort of permit. Okay, they then sold these residential use lots to a number of individuals. Those individuals, most of them, are my clients today. Okay, and as you know, it was not rezoned at that time. Now, sometime thereafter, the Holtmeyer brothers purchased one of these lots that was once purposefully structured for residential use. They went through the proper procedures, applied for permits, built the grain bin facility. There were no issues at that time. Okay, the issues arose more recently when they applied for the special use permit to, of course, install the anhydrous tanks. And now this board, as you remember, back in March 29th, denied that permit. Now, I believe you denied it because it was, one, too close to residential homes, and also that this east half section more closely resembles an Ag 4 district than an Ag 1. Okay. Now let's talk about the appropriate legal standard. We know that the Nebraska Supreme Court has ruled on this issue a number of times. Back in 1963, they had a landmark case, then they reaffirmed their decisions and added additional information back in 2005. So let's first talk about in 1963, in that case, the court explained that, or one of the issues that they were debating is a core issue that we are considering today, and that is, this is what they said, at what point a zoning ordinance will cease to be spot regulation and be deemed to cover a sufficient area to be part of a comprehensive plan has not been precisely explained by the court, but apparently will be determined upon the facts presented in each instance. It is implicit, furthermore, that the court itself will also determine public welfare when considering an ordinance which might possibly be classified as spot zoning. Additional factors that they used in deciding whether or not spot zoning was invalid spot zoning was involved in that case was, one, they looked at the recent changes in that land area. Not just recent, but its core history. They also looked at the adjacent landowner's rights and the public welfare as a whole. Okay, they also added, back in this 1963 case, the exercise of the power to zone may not be denied on the ground that individual property rights may be adversely affected thereby. It is okay for you to rezone an area of land that has negative effects upon an adjacent landowner. But remember to look at all the facts as a whole and to look at the general public welfare as a whole. That was part of their legal standard. Now let's jump forward to 2005, where the Nebraska Supreme Court took up this issue of rezoning and spot zoning again. Okay, this is what they had to say. Spot zoning generally refers to the singling out of a small parcel of land for a use or uses classified differently from the surrounding area, primarily for the benefit of the owner of the property so zoned and to the detriment of the area and other owners therein. The validity of spot zoning depends on more than the size of the spot, and spot zoning as such is not necessarily invalid. Let me rephrase that. Spot zoning as such is not necessarily invalid due to just the small size of the land, but its validity depends upon the facts and circumstances appearing in each particular case. The court then went on to identify those three factors that are present in invalid spot zoning. These were mentioned by Dennis, but I'll reiterate them again. The first one is, a small parcel of land is singled out for special and privileged treatment. Second, the singling out is not in the public interest, but serves only the interest of the landowner. And third, the action is not in accord with the comprehensive plan. Okay, now these three elements of invalid spot zoning are not involved in this case. Okay, first, let's go over them. First, a small parcel of land is not singled out for special and privileged treatment. The applicant is not seeking, the applicant and landowner, Ron Mazza, is not attempting to single out his own parcel of land. As you know, the entire east half section 5. All of them. Okay? On top of it, That's it here. Further, this application is not to change or to provide any additional favors or special treatment to Ron's land or to the land of his neighbors. It is to provide the security and guidance of proper zoning regulations. To explain, for Ron, this will allow him to continue his farming practice the way he's been doing now. Okay? For the Holtmeyers, it will allow them to continue to operate their grain bin facility as they operate now. It's not preventing them from their current business practice.
The current business practice.
Current business practice.
You are affecting them in the future.
Potentially.
Potentially.
You're taking away some opportunity they have to develop their land.
They currently do not have that opportunity.
Yeah, they do. They can use a special use permit.
If one were granted.
Right. But I mean, I said they have an
Yeah, every parcel landowner has an opportunity to develop their land as they see fit.
You're saying like this is neutral action. This is very much not
correct.
Neutral.
Well, we can make that distinction that for current practices it does not affect them, but for future uses that may potentially have that negative impact if certain contingencies were fulfilled, certain conditions. Okay, moving on. For future uses, we can talk about that to Christy Carnes and Steve MacArthur, who also intend on building residencies in the near area, who are current landowners with the intent to build residencies. They too hope to have some security and guidance based on the decision of this board. Okay, let's talk about the second prong. The zoning requested here is in the public interest. Okay. The public interest affects current landowners and those who live within the near vicinity. As we've talked about before, there are currently 10 parcel landowners and 6 residencies built in this particular area, the majority of whom are in favor of this zoning application. The majority. Okay. In addition, we've already seen a petition of more than 120 concerned individuals which was previously submitted to this board regarding this particular area, showing their interest in this area. Okay. The third prong, whether or not this action is in accord with the Gage County Comprehensive Plan. Of a month ago, I went through the comprehensive plan and through the entire plan, it does support agriculture business. It just so happens that today's applicant, Ron Massa, operates a farm. He operates according to organic practices. He has produce that he sells and to a number of people in this room as well. And I love the gentleman's comment who stated that we must adapt to survive. We need to continue to change. And I love that because that's exactly what Ron has sought to do. He's not building more corn and soybean. No, he's doing the food that we eat, the food that sustains us people. He is adapting for survival and hoping that this board will provide him the guidance and security he needs to continue to offer that to the community. Diversity is wonderful. It's great for the economy and for the people as well. And that's what Ron provides. Okay, so none of these necessary elements for invalid spot zoning are present under the set of facts. Now, it is true that this decision will set a precedent. But what precedent would you be setting? That precedent is that you're setting to everyone else in the other counties that you are willing to listen to the public, that you are willing to understand the correct legal standard in which to apply the facts to. Okay, the Supreme Court said spot zoning is case specific. Spot zoning in and of itself isn't invalid unless those three prongs are there. Okay, and in addition, if we were to focus on this issue, the precedent that you'd truly be setting if you were to approve this application is that you are willing to listen to the public You would set the precedent that if a parcel of land were subdivided more than 20 years ago, and then without the proper permits back then, that you would then consider it for rezoning as it would be done today. Well, as we know, it's not rezoned today. Dennis spoke that it would, an Ag 1 wouldn't go to an Ag 4, but rather they would receive a subdivision permit under an Ag 1 designation. Now, if something like this particular situation, which happened 20 years ago, where there is no subdivision permit, what recourse do the landowners who purchased the homes intending to build residencies on it have?
When they got title insurance or had an attorney give them an abstract opinion, wouldn't that have been noted on the abstract that it's zoned A1? And the question is rhetorical, because yes, it would have, if the attorney's any good, and if the title insurance was good. So I understand what you're saying, but, you know, there's this nebulous person out there or entity that you folks are blaming, and that's... I don't know. Who is that? Who are you blaming for this? That they didn't, you know, that they bought land that was zoned A1 and built a house on it?
The system.
What?
The system.
Okay.
It's not a single person.
Okay. Well, it's Trump again.
No, this is why we're looking for just clarification and security and what we have to deal with now. Who is the The zenith and the origin of today's issue is not the issue. The issue is whether we can get guidance and security on today's issue. That's the point. All right, I'll finish up my comments. We'll revisit Article 5.4 of the Gage County Zoning Regulations, describe Ag 4, which states the district is intended to provide for low-density, acreage residential development and selected areas in close proximity to the communities of Gage County or any rural areas with reasonable access to major rural roads. Generally, these districts are located near urban and built-up areas within a reasonable reach of fire protection and hard-surfaced roads. Here are some standards, some guidelines that Gage County has provided. Now, the majority of the landowners, the owners of the parcels of land and residencies, have direct access to West 117th Road, which, as you know, is a hard surface road. And that provides access to Beatrice and the other surrounding communities. This East Half section has been sufficiently developed since its original Ag 1 zoning designation that the Ag 1 designation no longer adequately describes its current residential environment. In summary, the requested zoning change is in the public interest. The intent of this application is to provide security and guidance. This decision may send forth a precedent, but that precedent isn't to say that all Ag 1 with some homes in it is now an Ag 4. No, it's still, as the Nebraska Supreme Court has provided, case-by-case specific. There's a reason why it's a fuzzy or gray zone, because even the Nebraska Supreme Court, when they had to deal with this issue, said it such. It's a gray zone. I appreciate your time that you have spent on listening to the landowners, myself, to handle this issue. We respectfully request that this board approve the application and rezone the land to Ag 4. Thank you. Any questions?
I do have a question. Let's see if anybody else does. Early on there, you said that this property, way back when, they subdivided.
Yes.
What did you mean by that? They made small parcels because there's never been, and I was going to ask Nancy, I don't think there's a subdivision plat or whatever you want to call
correct.
It. Right.
Yes. There wasn't a formal subdivision that you would see today.
Right.
It was more or less, here's 5 acres, we'll carve this out, you have access to 117th, here you go.
But did that property owner at that time, he kind of made his own plan then, you're saying, or?
Yes.
Or,
it's just like subdividing your land means you just take what I owned as a whole and I put it into two pieces or more.
Okay.
Yeah, and some of them, now we have to go through a process where back then maybe he didn't.
Exactly.
I can't speak to that specific.
That's what I was referring to.
Well, my question, I guess, maybe I'm asking it wrong, though. So when he did the first parcel, then he decided to subdivide it, or how did it come about? You know what I mean? Because he didn't probably go out and say, I've got 6 parcels of 5 acres here now. I've subdivided my ground.
Correct. And you're asking the history and intent of the original landowner who is not here today, and even Dennis said he didn't know. I don't know.
We and
don't
has know. Passed away.
Oh, it has passed away. Okay. And I'm just trying to, I mean, because some of these things that have been brought up during this meeting that maybe our zoning has been not up to date every time. Well, some of this stuff, I don't blame our zoning a bit. Some of this stuff has evolved over time. Yep. Okay. Well, and so there's really, I mean, yes and no, you can say that we haven't kept up with it, but how is the Gage County zoning going to know that some property owner out there subdivided his own property and now he's got his own little book and now he's died? I mean, you know what I mean?
You're right.
So that's what, and I'm not defending him, but I mean,
Dennis might have some additional information here shortly. He's going over some stuff now.
Okay.
But as you do know here, 5 acres isn't sufficient to allow my family, it wouldn't support my family to do a soybean acreage on it.
No,
right?
No, so I understand all that. But I mean, there's a lot more things going on here with this parcel of ground than just, well, it didn't get done. I mean,
absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Agreed. Any other questions?
One question, Mr. Greenwood. Yeah, you were referring to the three factors the Supreme Court of Nebraska has gone over. My understanding is any one of those factors, if they're present, creates a spot zoning issue. Is that because you said that all three prongs must be present, and the Supreme Court made this very clear, I believe, they're not mutually exclusive. And usually all three are present, but the Supreme Court has said on more than one occasion only one of them needs to be present to find spot zoning. I just want to make sure we're on the same page on that.
Yes, we are on the same page on
Very
that.
Very good. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any more questions for her? And otherwise, we'll get a comment from Dennis. So, Ron, you want to go ahead?
It's a rebuttal.
Okay. Everybody keeps talking about the fact that it's, we're trying to do away with farming or something. You know, there's soybeans on both sides of my property, east and west, that are Dan Crawford's. No problem with it. It's and this cow's behind us, cows in front of us. I mean, that's normal. I mean, that is what, and that would be Ag 4. Am I correct?
What's
Roger?
That?
Pasture land for cows, crop. Would that be Ag 4?
No.
No? Well,
it could exist in
A4. It could be, an A4, it could be.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So the thing is, it's not changing that use, okay? Which, and the fact that organic farming, which is...
One use, you just said livestock, right?
Livestock or crop.
Yeah. Okay. But there's more uses that agriculture encompasses.
The present uses I'm talking about, the present uses are not affected. However, organic farming, okay, has a little more regulation, a little more particulars, which is what we do. We have 2 milk cows. We milk by hand. Okay? We have chickens that we do organic eggs. We have meat sheep for lambs. Lambs for meat sheep, whichever way you want to look at it. Okay? So the thing is, these are things that are fast and growing now. It's a new, it's an old new trend, as the Daily Sun said. You know, they said they had a signature, go around, and they got 30 people to turn around and sign it. Well, we had over 150, and probably half of those were our customers that buy our raw milk on our property, or our eggs, or our beef, or our whatever. Okay? And so they came from, Matt had mentioned that people on the petition were from 2 blocks away, and some were from Pickerel. Well, those are my customers. I have customers from Plymouth. I have customers from Virginia. Okay? But they're affected by what happens on my property. And most of the people are from Gage County. So that's why a lot of people were not from the immediate local area. But they're still affected. Now, Jay had mentioned that his house was, probably the last built in the southern quarter. That is true. Virgil built his 11 years ago, he told me. So that would be in the Virgil Anderson in the north quarter. So there has been additional houses that were put there. At least that's what he had said to me. Mike Holtzmeyer mentioned that we're trying to control a small parcel of land, like 5 acres, to control the whole section. Well, that's actually what he's doing. Okay? He turns around and he bought 5 acres a couple of years ago, and he's changed the whole neighborhood. We were all, everybody was fine. Everybody got along. Everybody turned around and mind, you know, did their own thing. Some had crops, some had cattle, you know, and some people just had residence, and I had a little bit of everything. And the thing is, and everybody, and everything was fine. This in, this, the seed company, which doesn't hurt anybody outside of that, doesn't have any long-term ramifications to killing my animals or my wife. Okay, you know, and so they look to use scare tactics to say, "Oh, we could go out of county." Well, or their family, somebody in their family could sell them 5 acres of the 10,000 acres they have in the county. It's their choice. And as far as going off on the Tracy Crawford rant, okay, Dan told me 2 different times. Once when he was lending me his skid loader, and another time when he was helping me with some fences, that. That he was staying neutral to the situation, that he could see both sides of it. Okay? So, and if you want to go to the GIS, you want to see somebody who lies, look up that, the property that the Crawfords own, and it's under Dan and Lori Crawford. Any other questions?
My problem is that everything you're saying is everything is fine right now, and then you want to make a change.
I'm hearing you
saying everything is fine.
Everything at the present use is fine. But the thing is, the present use is trying to be changed. Okay? If it isn't anhydrous, it'll be some other chemical. Or it'll be some kind of pesticide. Or it'll be something, okay, that's going to turn around and kill people and kill things that are... And not just do I have organic, but Jerry Meyer, who's adjacent and a couple hundred feet from the property, also does organic plants for the last 40 years. Okay? So... I mean, we're trying to turn around and preserve what we have. Okay? You know, maybe my property value will go down by 40%, but so will all the other residential properties go down by 40% when this takes place, if it's allowed to continue. We're trying to preserve. Okay? And AG4 is still ag. We're not trying to change it to be urban. Okay? You just said, you can have crop, you can have cattle, you can do, you know, you can do these things. That's fine.
We can do everything.
Right, but I'm saying AG4. AG4, you could still do everything that's being done now. We just want to make sure that it stays that way. This is why when we were told to turn around and look into rezoning this area so that it would stay preserved. Nothing's wrong with keeping it. If it's good, don't fix something that's not broken.
Well, but you're advocating, your attorney was just advocating change.
I'm not looking to change the area. I'm looking to catch the paperwork up, because you had mentioned about the properties changing. Yeah, the homes were not all built at the same time. So it wasn't at one point, but now it's at a point now where the density is at a point it needs to be taken care of. Okay? You're right, because in 1960 some of the houses were put in there, and in the 1990s some of the houses were put in there, some of the 2000s some of the houses were put in there, my house was put in 1906. Okay? You know, they're all over the place. But so the thing, you know, it comes down to is now we need to take care of it, and we need to secure the security for residents and homeowners in the area, because we are the ones that are going to be mostly affected. I know everybody's affected, okay? But when you have to go to sleep at night not knowing what's going to happen, okay, and, you know, and when other people, when the Crawfords had their property, okay, there was on the other side of 131st Street. Okay, not in the same section that he was talking about having, but he bought the property around us, and he has cattle and crop there. That's fine. Okay, we're not. But the thing is, we're trying to change the zoning to be what it really, the density that it is. Okay, Chris Carnes, I don't know, if I was her, I wouldn't build. If Steve MacArthur, I wouldn't build. If all this is going to change. They bought that area because of what it was when they bought it. And they've had that property for years, many more years than the Holtzmeyers have come in and upset the whole apple cart.
What it was when they bought it was Ag 1.
Yes. It was. Okay, but...
So they knew that.
Okay.
I've been supportive of these individuals who are my friends.
Okay.
But now you're asking for a change...
To what it represents. Okay, to what it represents. All I'm asking is what it represents. Okay, it represents AG4.
Eric?
It was tough for me to vote against those anhydrous tanks because it's somebody's place. It's their property using it for what they want to use it for. But there was that potential, that real fear, and I felt that potential for property values to go down on you all's property because of that. As far as the safety issues, I wasn't real concerned about that. There is that outside possibility, but like your attorney said, things have to adapt, things have to change, farming's changing. You're a special use in what? Your organic farming is the special use in that area. Everything else is kind of the way it was. That's a different use in that area in my mind. And I like what you're doing. I really do. I think you've got a great operation there. And it's neat to see that stuff. And I think we're going to see more of that. But we have to allow those other people that own property to evolve and change as they need to, too. We had hogs by town growing up. Town grew out, things changed. Those hog lots became subdivision, became houses and street and water and sewer. We had to evolve with that too. Didn't want to, but it's the way it is. The ground's like anything else, it's constantly evolving. You can't stop time. I mean, nobody can. We'd all like to. You can't stop it. Things are going to keep changing. This isn't saying that you can't do what you're doing and they can't do what they're doing, but to actually change this to another, to an Ag 4, it's looking like it's not really a fit on this to me. We're really infringing on other people's, on other people's
lives. If they wanted to change the use of the property it's presently going to use.
Yeah, okay. We don't know the circumstances that they're going to face moving forward, the same as we don't know what you're going to face. If you lose your well or something, what are you going to do?
I have a hand pump.
No, I mean, if you lose your well's dry, what are you going to do? Things are going to change. I mean, it's a constantly evolving thing. I know the intent is to keep everything the way it is, and more than likely it will be for quite a while. But things are going to change as time moves.
They have, and that's why there's more houses there and why the density is greater now than it's been any other time at this point. So in the last 10 years, it's been this the heavy density, which is why that's why I'm thinking it should change to the AG4. All right, let's just say Chris builds her house, Steve builds a house, the one just north of Steve, which is still adjacent to it, builds another house there. Okay, I mean, at what point, okay, do you realize that we are a community? It's a growing community. Okay, it's small, you know, a little bit at a time. But the thing is, at some point, how many houses have to be in that area where it, I mean, we have a main road that attaches two highways that's blacktopped. Okay? So, you know, you're right, things are gonna change. But they're gonna hopefully change for more residents in that area, and who knows, it could someday be a small town.
But one of those neighbors that moves in may say, I don't like the way your cows smell. I don't like your chickens coming into my yard. I don't like your ducks coming over and bothering my kids or what. I mean, those things, I mean, it all seems real nice and real still as you move forward. There's going to be negative changes there, too, as you get more houses. You're trying to run a farming operation, a small organic farming operation. You could just as easily have somebody next door that says, my kid is allergic to one-year animals. You can't have those on your place. Well, if you change that just a little bit like that, now they're infringing on your property. And I'm guessing you're going to say, well, I had this first.
And we had the homes first before the industry came into the section.
No, that ground was there long before any of those homes.
No, the ground was, but that subdivide, that 5 acres, okay, that has changed and upheaved the whole neighborhood.
I know this is this specific.
Right.
We have to look at the broad picture, though, not just the specific property, you know, not just that one spot. But I don't know if I'm getting across to you what I'm thinking.
I understand what you're saying, and things will change. I'm hoping that they change to be a nice, you know, residential country community. Because we are, it's like a mini neighborhood. And, you know, and everybody did get along, you know. And I mean, the good thing is I got even to know some of them a lot better. But the thing was, we need to turn around and have protection. If we don't have protection, somebody's going to die or people are going to leave or values are going to go down. It's all pretty negative. So
thank you.
Okay.
Any more questions?
Sorry to bother you. Here is a deed to the ground. Did you read this off? Because he lied to me. Can you read the deed off?
Tracy, I'll refer that to Roger and stuff. So, okay.
Can he read it off?
I guess just for the, would you that you own the you and your wife own the rec or the property, you conveyed it to, or excuse
no,
me.
No, the first you, the top one.
The what?
The top one there.
Okay.
He just told me I didn't own it. I got it.
I'm just saying what the GIS says online.
I don't know what. Well.
Patty has been here before and said that the GIS, there are times when it's not updated right or whatever. So yeah. Just so everybody knows that, okay.
And basically, I just what Mr. Crawford has given me is a copy of, excuse me, the trustee's deed from Pinnacle Bank as a trustee of the Weens Trust to Dan, Dan's wife, and Tracy. And I'm not reading that legal.
Yeah. So, and I'm not saying GIS is wrong. Patty, at times, though, they try to keep that the best they can. That's as good as the information put into it, though, and then keeping it up to date. And they try everything they can, but there could be a possibility that might not be quite right. And I'm not defending them. I'm just saying. Okay, I think we're done here. Everybody that is on the list, we've had opportunity to speak. It is 11:27 on the clock. I entertain a motion to come out of public or to close public hearing.
Second.
Motion by Tima and second by John Hill. Vote 5-0 in favor. You want to switch Jurgens there because he's left already. We will just, some of them have left, but we will have the public comment period on this at 9:30. After the public comment period, then you will be allowed to speak and comment on your permit. And then after that, the board will have discussion and vote. And that will be on the 21st. But I caution you again, check Tuesday morning at 8:30 our agenda set.
I'm close enough.
Just in case something does come up and we decide not to do it, we have in the past.
I've been scared about cattle is because I went and asked all my
find out the agenda, call the clerk's office to make sure that it's still set that way.
I'm going to be out of my element there, you know, unless you keep it really tiny. So I'm looking at some stuff a little bit further to the southeast of me.
We're still in our meeting. Yeah. You visit within some other. Hey. Eric, we still got some more things on the meeting. We got a closed session here and everything.
So, oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we've got a couple more things on the agenda that we need to get done. And Joel, apologize. We'll be there later here and stuff. Okay. Right. Next up on the agenda, approve or disapprove moving forward with selling the Weimer property located at 221 South 7th, Weimer, Nebraska.
Move to approve.
Second.
A motion by Lytle, seconded by Byers. Now, the discussion is, how do we want to dispose of it?
Quickly.
Lottery.
Quickly.
You're going forward. That's what I understand.
That's what the city has an agreement with them. Yeah. The city has an agreement with what's her name?
That.
For a dollar.
Oh,
it was on the news this morning.
That extra property that they own next to it.
For the Black Crow.
Okay, I understand. That's an overall agreement between the affected parties.
That went away, though. I heard they missed the buy. I missed the purchase.
Oh, hey, can we have you guys...
If you folks should move out into the hallway and visit.
Okay, hold it.
And then we can get them people out.
We're going to take a five-minute break. His bladder. Well, everybody's... Okay,
I would move we come out of close. Oh, we were in.
We already did that.
Was in a break.
We were on to the. You already moved to approve disposing of the Weimer property.
To go forward.
I think we should.
As opposed to go backwards.
And John, did you have a chance to visit with them at all?
Well, actually, the one building maybe has a new owner, so no.
No.
But I think an auction is the proper way to do it.
An auction. Have Gus go down and we'll set up a time and then just advertise it, and then he goes down there. I know we put this property on there, but I got a copy of the deed for that other little property too, but we'll do that again later.
Okay.
Because it's not listed on the agenda.
Yep.
There's two deeds there for two properties.
And that one might need some research done on it.
I didn't know.
No, I did.
We
researched it. I got the deed. I talked to Lori. That one too. It's County definitely owns it.
Yep.
We can go ahead and sell it.
Is it an empty, empty lot?
No, the other property is a small piece of
Yep. It's a small strip of land that the county acquired some time ago.
Yeah, and it's about, what, 10, 12 feet wide?
Only about 15 feet wide. I'm not sure how it was ever that long.
We don't even know why it's the county's or whatever. It's something that we just need to clean up and
get rid of.
John's visited with the owner. He's interested in it, so hopefully he'll give $5 or $10. We'll have to handle that one later. Okay. This one here is the only one on the agenda today. So this is the property that we had to just inherited the building from because we were last.
Did they get that sidewalk in the front port?
Dave told me that was everything was fine. Yep. On the front sidewalk, basically, it was somebody had thought it had settled. It had not settled.
No.
Did we get a reduction in price since it was specced out in the contract?
Well, no, it was not specced out in the contract.
Wasn't?
It was if they did damage to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
They were never on it. And I mean, and we've had that discussion. Dave brought that up to us, too. If they got on it and did damage to it, they needed to. It did not say in there that they will replace the sidewalk. It did not say that. I forget how the wording is.
Yep. Well, I think initially we had some talk, you know, and John came in and says we don't need all.
Well, I think Dave
was right.
Dave found it,
and that didn't have nothing to do with the sidewalk.
Yep.
Right.
So, and we don't have it. There's not an agent down there like we have in Beatrice where the inspector comes and does all that. So
dispose of the property and we'll auction it. We'll set a time up. So somebody else have another idea other than we'll advertise the time. We'll go down there and we'll visit with Gus, see what works. Then we'll publicly advertise a time to have him go down there and basically auction it. He'll just stand there and ask for bids or whatever.
So are you going to want me to put on the agenda for a day that you're going to pick a date and a time, or are you doing that?
I don't know. We need to make sure something works for Gus.
Well, I have to be able to publish it, too.
So you have to do them on Wednesdays at 10, because it's simply because that's because court, don't have a lot of court going on, and I'm busy, so...
So how long do you need? You can't do it. I mean, we're going to do it a Wednesday. We don't have a meeting. So you're not looking at the 28th. You're looking at how about July 12th?
I'm sorry, Sheriff. Did you say we're not busy?
July.
Not real busy, Mike.
Gus, does July 12th at 10 o'clock work? You want to put that on your, see if that works on your thing?
Yeah.
And get back to Dawn to make sure that works, but that's what you'd advertise. And that'll give us plenty of time to advertise. That's when it would be down there. It will be down there at this location, the 221 South 7th. You'll be there.
Oh, not in the basement? You're going to go?
I want to do it at
all sales are down here.
Yeah.
In the basement.
No, this one ain't no tax sales or nothing like that. You can do it wherever.
Well, I can't. We usually have here people used to doing that. I mean, that's just.
Okay, do it in the basement of the courthouse.
Okay, that works.
Do it in the basement of the courthouse.
Do it at 11 o'clock so Juergens will be here.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. ten o'clock, July. What did I say?
July 12th.
July 12th at 10 o'clock. Basement of the courthouse for that property, and then Don can advert. And it'll be a sheriff. It'll be just Gus doing the auction. That's what we'll just have. Anybody else have any questions? Otherwise, we're ready to vote. Vote. 5-0 in favor. The next step, discuss and approve or disapprove process for paying overtime holiday hours. And Galen said he stayed around for this, too. This is not for call-out. We're not getting that there. I'll have Don, well, maybe Don or somebody understands a little better than I do. Part of it, and Gus is part of it, their office, part of it, we know the highway department, too. They're not designating when they have the overtime or the call out or the holiday hours, they're not designating whether they want that paid out or banked or what. They're not designating it quick enough. So what we're trying to do is we're going to put a time in there when.
Well, I think that was with the sheriff's department. That's Gus's a couple of issues that he's had listed that Julie can't get the information from the employees. And then, therefore, she can't get it over to Sharla. We can't pay them properly or on time when they should be paid. And we have received some
monthly.
How they want it. And so that it started with Gus on Monday that he has an issue with this. And they designate whether they want comp time or, I mean, bank time, or they want to be paid for it. They want to split it. And I made the comment, well, the highway department also chooses whether they want comp time or paid. And so that's how that
transpired. So when, I guess what we're trying to come up here is a policy, and basically what it is when they turn in their timesheets or when they have to have their timesheets turned in, they need to designate it at that time or it will be paid out.
That's the conversation that was had on
Monday.
I think
that that's the proper thing to do.
Isn't that the way it is now?
If you don't have a designation, it will be automatically paid.
Well, if it is, they're taking advantage of it and we're not enforcing it.
Yep.
So.
Actually, it should be the time period,
Gus.
Not the time sheet, because that's 28 days.
Gus,
up here. Okay, the time period. Okay.
Right.
The pay period. We're talking the pay period.
Pay period, not time sheet. Pay period.
Period, right.
That's when they earn those hours or the pay period, they turn it in then, so it gets through the process quicker. Right now, it's weeks on that, and then we don't catch it till Julie starts going through and then finds all this, and then it's... So this is simply going to clear it up in the language that if you don't designate, we will for you.
We will pay
you. You're getting paid, and you're done. No choice.
You won't have the option of deciding.
We don't have a lot of that type of issue with the highway department, and Gail and I have even had a conversation to even make things work a little smoother. When they get call-out time, we're asking them just to turn a slip to the office the next day. Then that can be on... into the system so that when the timesheets are generated and sent out to each office to review and sign, it's already on there.
Roger, tell me if I'm wrong here, but it's already clarified. If you work, you're going to get paid. If you don't put in something that says differently, you're getting paid. So in that time frame, if you don't put in a slip that says, I want this as comp time and not cash... I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Well, common sense would tell you that, but we're dealing with a union now, and it's in the contract. That's the way it is. So we have to make sure they understand. If you're not going to turn it in, I'm not babysitting you no more.
Gus, in the FOP contract, it just says shall. It doesn't say you will. It says you shall. It says you have the option. Joel, am I correct in that? Shall means you have the option?
I will defer to
Ryan. Careful, you have conflict.
He's got it, bro. But I mean, if the FOP is the one that contractor is the one that controls in this situation. So if it's a shall, I think, again, it's one of those things that just do what it says.
That's what we started doing since Monday, so.
All right. So you've been right since Monday.
Yeah.
I'm going to start doing it.
Right. There we are. We're done. We're done discussing it.
That was fast.
We don't have anything to vote on either.
No, we don't have anything to vote on.
I guess we're just
we process. Just needed clarification. That's all we needed.
Yep. So,
and the right people here to clarify it. That's what we needed. So,
if not designated, we'll be...
Anything else? Thank you. Anything else that anyone... He's there on the agenda other than a closed session.
Okay.
We had to come out of closed session after that to approve or disapprove the non-compete letter. Yeah. So. Anything else? If not, entertain a motion at 11:46 to go into closed session. And this is necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of the needless injury to the reputation of an individual. And as you see on the agenda, this is primarily for the conflict letter FOP. P in the Keating Law Firm. I do have one other little thing on negotiations that we'll visit about too in there, but that's otherwise what this is for.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Tiemann, second by Hill. Vote. 5-0. Okay. Close session. On.
Okay.
We're on. We will entertain a motion to come out of closed session at 1 o'clock.
So move. Oops.
Who made the motion? Motion by Tiemann and seconded by Lytle. Vote. 4 in favor and Byers voting against. But 5 in favor. One quick thing. We did have an item on the agenda to approve or disapprove having the chairman sign conflict interest letter with Keating O'Gara Law Firm. At this time, we do not have a decision on that. Hopefully, at the next meeting, we will. We need to check out some more information.
So we're taking
motion to adjourn.
No action on the last item there and stuff.
Second.
We're adjourned.
Right. Being adjourned. We have a motion.